Amen. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I was supposed to be here last month, but I got in contact with, I don't know how, but with shingles, and that ain't no fun. So I called Pastor Albert and Deborah, and they had mercy on me. They said, you come when you're ready. So I called them, and here I is. I feel better, and I'm doing good, and I love coming here. I look forward to it. Well, what's in my heart today is to introduce the Father to you like you've never known him. Makes me want to cry. Because everything that he is, we should be. And how will we know how to be like him unless we know him? I remember when I was a missionary serving my term in South America, in Ecuador, in a town called Chone Manabí. And when I was there, they always told me, they schooled me on how to be a missionary in South America. It's not the same in Asia or Mexico. It's not the same in South America like it is in other countries, Africa. And so when I went, when I was in Ecuador, I remember that they told me, you're going to hear about like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, footsteps of the horses passing by your house, but don't look out the window because they're the revolutionists. And the revolutionists were, they're all in South America and all different parts of the world, and they would come out and steal chickens and pigs, and they'd go out shopping about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were left alone. Nobody, you know, messed with them. You didn't want to get in trouble with them. So they'd say, Ana Maria, don't look out the window, because if they see that you saw them, they'll come back and they'll see, what are you looking at? Because they would know that I was a foreigner and I didn't know the rules. So anyway, I was in my bedroom that faced the front of the house, the street, the dirt road. And I couldn't help it, people. I couldn't help it. I looked out the window just a little bit and I saw him. I saw him. They would come out to look for medicines, water, something to eat. And they were so lost. And I remember Genesis chapter 1, where verse 1, where it says that in the beginning, when God created the earth and he said, now's the time. I'm going to create heaven and earth. And the word says that at that moment when the earth was created by God, it says that it was empty. It was void. The earth was empty and it was void and it was disorderly. I said, that sounds like me. Without Jesus. It sounds like all of us. We were void. We were empty. And we had disorder in our lives. And then the word says that, it says, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be darkness. And God said, let there be water. And God said, and God said, he created order with this word. What he spoke out came to pass. He created, he took away the disorder, the voidness, the confusion. And thank God he came and did that for us one day. When he came and brought order into our lives, he came and he filled the void. Can anybody say, thank you, Jesus? He filled my void. I always used to say, why was I born? What's my purpose in life? I always sought for that. That's why I joined so many movements. I was trying to find my place. I had a void. I had disorder in my life. I didn't know where I belonged. But then Jesus, say, then Jesus, he came into our lives. And Adam and Eve, they sinned. And the word of God says that when they realized they had sinned against God, they began to run. And they were running in the jungle. And they were running away from God. Because conviction came in. Where there was no conviction in the past, because there was no sin. And so what happened is that God came forth and he began to look for Adam. And he said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you, my son? Where are you? Didn't I give you dominion all over the world? Didn't I tell you you had government? Ship over this earth, the animals. What happened, Adam? But Adam and Eve ran further and further and further away from God. Reminds us of us, amen? But I'm here to tell you that the first missionary on this planet Earth was God. He was the first missionary because he came to planet Earth himself, the word says, and he sought the lost. He sought the sinner. He ran and he looked for Adam and for Eve, and he came and he looked for you and for me. And then we continued to read in the Word and in the Gospels. And we see another missionary. Because Jesus came to represent the Father, the heart of the Father, which is love. To bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus came to teach us the heart of the Father. And so Jesus is the second missionary this earth has ever known. And then we know about good Paul, Barnabas, and Silas, como se llama. And I am so excited to be part of that team. You know, there's a fivefold ministry. There's a pastor, evangelist, a prophet, teacher, and apostle. Out of all those fivefold ministers, someone once asked me, why did you choose to be a missionary? I didn't choose. A pastor did not choose. The apostle doesn't choose. God calls us. God appoints us. God ordains us. When I was in South America and Ecuador, and I would see more deeper and deeper the needs of the people, there was a saying in South America, the people need a leader to follow, a flag to wave, and a song to sing. And I said, well, that sounds like my past. I used to wave flags and play the guitar and sing, and I used to do that, but it was different now on the mission field. And one night I got on my knees. I was so grateful that he called me to be a missionary. I didn't know deep within everything that had that I had to learn about missions, because it was my training ground. Ecuador was where I was sent to be trained as a missionary. And so I was all ears, I was all eyes, and I was all heart. I realized I had the passion of God for people. And once the passion of God enters your soul, you'll never be the same. And I remember getting on my knees about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. No, I wasn't looking for the revolutionist. I was looking for God to give me more of his heart. And I got on my knees next to my bed, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop praying in the Holy Ghost, people. You'll never grow. You'll never go up another step without the Holy Ghost. He's a leader. He's a guider. And so I knelt down, and I was praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And I wouldn't let go. I wouldn't let go till I heard the voice of God. And I heard him say, I'm calling you, and I have called you to be a woman of God and to be his for my fields. That's where that title came from. They asked me, what's the name of your ministry, Sister Anna? His for the field. Where did you get that from? From the heart of God. It's wonderful when you can say, I didn't choose that name. I didn't pick that country. It was all God. And when I heard him say, you're his for the field, I said, what does that mean? And then when I came into Mexico to be a missionary, to establish the work in Mexico, I knew what the ministry's name was. His for the field. We're all his for the field. In Mexico, they say, how do you translate that? You know? Well, que somos para él, para los campos, los perdidos. And so I truly, truly love being a missionary. Somebody asked me last week, well, when are you going to retire, Sister Anna? You know, I guess my face showed it that I couldn't believe what she said. When am I going to retire? We're not supposed to retire. We're supposed to refire. Amen? I go, I will never retire of preaching the gospel, winning the lost at any cost, taking the gospel to the children, to the old people, to the young people, in the rivers, in the mountaintops. I said, the day I retire is because it's the day that I died and I went to heaven and Jesus called me home. He said, now you can rest. Now you can rest. But I don't think I'm going to want to rest when I get to heaven. I'll be too busy looking for Paul and looking for Jesus and looking for my daddy. And it's a good thing to be in the presence of God. I remember in Mexico when I first started the work there, the church, Pan de Vida, the ministries, and God put it in my heart, and he said, you're to go and to teach, to train, and to send out your disciples into all the world to preach the gospel. And the only person I had was a lovely lady that I had to bury last week. My cook, my field worker with me by my side, Ramoncita. And I said, okay, the only one that I've won to the Lord so far is Juan Ramoncita. So if I teach her and if I train her, where will I send her? But at that time, I didn't know he was talking about that I was to open, embrace, and establish a Bible school where the nationals would come and they would be taught, they would be trained, and they would be sent out as pastors, missionaries, evangelists. We have a powerful evangelist in Mexico that graduated from our Bible school. We have pastors, and I'm always trying to go and to encourage the new pastors that graduate from our Bible schools. This last Christmas, I gave everybody a card. That was last Christmas, 2025, pictures of what you invested in. And the last pastor that graduated from our Bible school is in the pictures. And so we blessed him with finances so he could go do Christmas in Mexico where he is in the hills. We sent money to Cuba so they could have Christmas in Cuba. You see, God multiplies. I'm not saying that we have millions and billions. It's coming. But what we do have, we give and we sow and we see God multiply it. And so if from this Bible school that God called us to open, one day I went to the Bible school and all the students were there at Pan de Vida and we were getting ready to start classes and this man came and he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I need prayer. I said, of course. And so I put everything on hold for a soul. Amen. And I told two ushers, come with me, because I was going to go pray for a man. We got wisdom. Amen. And I called my missionary friend, Margarita Rios, which yesterday I was at her funeral. The hardest thing I've had to do lately. They asked me to bring the eulogy about my friend and what we did together on the mission field. Oh, it's a joy to work for God in the field and to get close to people that have your same like vision and passion for God and souls. And so she was there in with us as we went into a separate room to pray for this man, Oscar. And so he says, I feel that their spirits, a spirit is tormenting me. So we knew what we were dealing with. So Maggie opened up her Bible. Maggie's sister yesterday met me at the church and she said, this is Maggie's Bible. Now you take it, Anna. I said, thank you, Josie. Thank you. And I told Maggie, come. And she opened her Bible and she began to read all the scriptures that the Word of God says that we have power and authority over all the works of the devil. And she kept speaking the Word and speaking the Word and creating life into this man. And with my own eyes and testimonies of those two ushers and Maggie, we saw this man who was sitting on a chair. And all of a sudden, he started sliding off the chair. And from his feet to his chest, he turned in. And God is hearing me. I'm in the pulpit. I'm not lying. This I say because God is my witness. We saw that man turn into a snake, like a python, a big snake from his feet to his shoulders. And then all of a sudden, we saw his face come out like a football. And his eyes slanted back all the way to his ears, and his mouth slanted back to his ears. And right before us, we saw him turn into a snake. And Maggie, she got the word of God. I know my friend Maggie, she wanted to get the Bible and slap that devil's head out of that man, you know. But she said, no. No. You will not manifest yourself. I take authority over you. We were all speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost as God led Maggie to cast that devil out. And then we came in when we knew we were the enforcements. And she kept saying, no, you will not manifest yourself. Many times in our lives, in our homes, people around us, they want to manifest their ugliness around us and towards us. You say, no. You will not manifest your anger, your hatred upon me. I take authority over you. And that boy, we saw him. He came back to normal. And his face was normal. And he cried. And he cried, and he says, I don't feel that heaviness no more. I go, yeah, you're free, you're free, you're free. One day at the comedor, because we feed the children, and we were feeding the adults, and still do. And this man came, and the whole dining room was full of men, women, grandmas, grandpas, children. We fed everybody that comes in. And there was this man, and he started manifesting himself like a bear. And I felt bad for him because he was eating. And then he would stop, and he would start growling like a bear. And the people started getting scared of him. I said, no, no. El que tiene autoridad aquí es Cristo Jesús, y tomamos autoridad. And I called in all the guys. Come on in, ushers. Now you cast the devil out. We're not there to do it all. We're there to teach, to train, and then send. That's what your church is all about. You're here to be taught, to be trained. And not to sit in the bench, but do something with the gospel. Do something with the gospel. The word of God says, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me, because this gospel has been placed upon me by necessity. Was he talking about his needs? No. He was talking about the necessity that needs upon people's lives. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And he said, I cannot live for myself. I cannot be happy. I cannot be fulfilled. I cannot be content until I preach the gospel. And that's what my heart is crying out today. Do something with the gospel. The gospel's not just a book. The gospel should be inside of us. Whether we read it word by word or you carry it word by word, because it's inside you, like the breath you breathe. And never stop speaking in tongues. There's where your fire comes from. That's where the power of God flows in you. If we don't have prayer, we don't have the word, and we don't have the Holy Ghost, then we have nothing. There's a scripture in the Bible that says in Matthew chapter 9, you can read it, verse 38. 37, 36, 37, 38. And it says that Jesus was flooded by the multitude. And he was sitting in a high rock where he knew about echoing. Jesus was too much. He was smart. And he would sit up high so that his voice would echo. And the word of God says that multitudes, thousands would come. They would follow him. They would chase him. Why? Because he was giving out something? No. They wanted to hear the word because it was filling the void. It was changing their lives. They loved Jesus. And when Jesus had finished teaching, the word says that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the people. What moves you with compassion? Just your family? Just your children? Just your babies? What should move our hearts with compassion is the lost and dying of this world. And the word of God says that Jesus saw the multitudes getting up, standing up, ready to go home. And it says that his heart was moved with compassion. I want to be like that. I fall short. That's my family. I get mad too. Right now, I was drinking some tea. And it wasn't to my liking. And I told Gloria, this tastes like menudo. It was tea. Sorry about that, Gloria. I love you. It was not her fault. It's the mark of the tea. But stuff happens, amen? Sister Anna is not perfect. But the word says that. And like I was saying, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be compassionate. I want to be patient. And the word says that Jesus said, pray for the harvest. What's a harvest? Evangelizing. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. The supreme task of the church today is the evangelization of the world. He said, there are many for the harvest. Plenty is the harvest, but few laborers. Few people are willing to go into the fields and harvest the fields. They're ripe for the harvest, they're ripe for the picking. But we have our own fields that we're too concerned about. But Jesus said, pray. He said, I'll teach you how to fix it in your house, in your church, in your heart. I'll teach you how to fix it, Jesus said, pray. And pray and ask for laborers to go to the fields. I have a bunch of nieces and nephews, and I'm trying to be an influence to love God and to harvest the fields of God. I love you, Cornerstone, because I believe that you are people that you have shown that you have prayed for the harvest field. I'm your representative in the mission field. I understand that not everybody is called to be a missionary, but we're all called to go, to say, to pray, to pave the way, but do something with the gospel. And this church paves my way. You pray for me. Go, say, pray, or pave the way. And you know what? Thinking of my friend Maggie, I imagine that when Maggie entered into heaven, I had the honor of seeing her win people to the Lord. One time she was preaching at a women's conference, and the Lord stopped her right in the middle of her good sermon. And what happened was that God spoke to her because he knew he had liberty with her. God could stop her in her tracks anytime he wanted to change the atmosphere. And that day, she felt in her spirit that God said, there's people in this church that do not speak in tongues. They have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Maggie, she stopped, she closed her Bible, she says, God's speaking, he's saying that some of you women here at this women's conference, you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. She was embarrassed of what God wanted her to do. She was ready to change at any moment to the plan of God. I want to be like that. I want to be in the middle of a sermon. And God can say, okay, step aside. I have something to say. Yes, sir. Can you believe it? When are we going to get to that level? And Maggie called and she said, there's some of you women here. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in tongues because that's what gives us the power, the anointing, the grace, the fire. And so what happened? 30 women came up. Last week, I called up the pastora from this conference, and I said, I want to share that at her eulogy, but I don't want to exaggerate or the women that came forward to receive the baptism. We better know what we're saying. I always double check and double check. My mama always knows that I do not speak something from the pulpit that I have not checked. And I told her, because if I say a number, it gives God no glory to exaggerate. So I called up La Pastora in Oaxaca, Mexico, and I said, how many women were at the women's conference and received the baptism? She said, 30. I said, good. And I shared that with the congregation yesterday, that God had liberty to stop Maggie at any time he wanted. I want to be like that. When Maggie was teaching at our Bible school, she was doing it again. She was teaching at our Bible school, and God did it again. And maybe there was about 20, 25 students in the classroom, and then Maggie closed her Bible, and she said, God just spoke. There's students, Bible school students in here that have never spoken in tongues. Stand up right now. And out of those students, there were about 10 who had not spoken in tongues, had not been. And they were getting ready to be pastors and evangelists and missionaries. No, not out of this Bible school. You're going to get out of this Bible school equipped. And so what happened is that she stood up And all of them immediately received the baptism. You know, there's people that have the anointing, certain anointings for certain tasks. You know who has that anointing? My mother. My mother has that anointing for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, Mama, I always do it by faith. I obey God, but I know that I have not reached that anointing like my mama has, like Maggie had. Run with your anointing. Don't copy somebody. And so what happened, the students that were already baptized, they saw the other 10 get baptized. They stood up to their feet. They started not speaking in tongues. They started shouting in tongues. There was a fire that fell in that room. Well, we canceled classes, and we had a heyday. We had a great time in the presence of God. Give him the praise. This is all God that we're reporting here today. We're reporting on a God that is good and gracious and loving to us. And he's always willing to bless us to overflowing if we'll just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our favorite poem that we had in Bible school, our teachers, our staff, my favorite, my family's favorite now, and your favorite too today. And it's by C.T. Studd. And it's that poem that says, only one life, soon it will pass. Only what we do for God will last. You see, this life is very short. I didn't expect for my friend to pass. I didn't expect that. But only one life. We only have one life. Soon it will pass. And you know, I think about maybe the exploits that people would want to say, well, she worked in a hospital, she did nursing, or she went here, she went there. I don't want them to talk about who I was before Jesus. Only one life, soon it will be passed. Only what you do for Christ will last. Because what I do for Christ is what's going to gain me my rewards in heaven. Not what I do on this earth. It will be forgotten. You know, there were people at my friend's homecoming yesterday, and I'm thinking everybody was walking out of the church. But will they remember her like I remembered her? Dime con quien andas y te diré quien eres. You watch who you talk with. You watch who you confess even your sins to. Not everybody, because everybody was going home. Going home to do their thing. And quickly they forget. And if people never remember me, that's okay, as long as they remember Jesus. But we leave legacies. We leave a word that represented who we were in Christ. Church, these are the last days. And there's no time to be sitting in the pews. There's no time to be just concerned for our own. Only one life, soon it will be passed. Only what you do for Christ will last. The gospel, what are you going to do with the gospel after today? Are you going to disciple someone? Are you going to pass tracts? Remember, we were always passing tracts. We don't pass tracts no more. Make a track. Do something for the gospel's sake. It'll bring joy to you. It'll bring gladness. It'll fill you. You won't feel void. You won't feel empty. Father, today, the Spirit told me right now. He said, let me speak now. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. This is between you and God. Take inventory right now of your heart. Take inventory right now of your soul, your mind, your spirit. What do you allow crossing your mind? Do you stop it? Do you take authority and do you cast down those evil imaginations? If you haven't been, you better do it now. Let's get right, people. Let's get right. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Be anxious for nothing but in everything through prayer, supplication, making your requests made known unto God. And the peace that passes all human understanding will guard and keep your heart in perfect peace through Christ Jesus. How's your heart? How's your mouth? Every eye closed, every head bowed. This is between you and God. Watch your words. How are your emotions, your spirit, man? Your emotions. God gave us a heart, a mind, our soul, our spirit. Emotions get us in trouble. We get too caught up in thinking about what we want, what we desire, what we dream of, what we... You better say to your emotions, shut up. That doesn't sound like God. Tell yourself. And if you need to, check yourself. What does God want for me? Then let him speak the word in you through the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You'll never be the same. Your ministry will never be the same. Your calling will never be the same. When you don't know what to say, pray in the Spirit. When you don't know what to feel, pray in the Holy Ghost. You see, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows the heart of God. And the heart of God will speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit will plant in your spirit the word of God. They're a teamwork. Let's join the team. For those who have never accepted Jesus today, I want you to say this prayer. I think we all need to repeat this prayer. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you right now. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart and I ask you to come in because I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins. Lord, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Now we're going to say another prayer. We're going to commit ourselves not to your plans and purposes, not to your ideas. There's a God idea and there's a man idea. And so come forward in your heart to God. If you draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. It's as simple as that. Jesus is the gospel. What will you do with Jesus? Don't waste time. This life ends so quickly. We're here today and tomorrow we're not here no more. What are you going to do with the gospel? Maybe your grandma needs to hear the gospel. Maybe your dad needs to hear the gospel. Somebody close to you. Maybe at the gas station, somebody needs a word because they've just been told that they have a deadly disease. Well, there's no deadly diseases in the kingdom of God. People need prayer. Let's get busy, people. There's people dealing with demons that want to turn them into animals. Make them growl angry like bears. What? We pass by them every day, even at the market. Let's be sensitive. Jesus had compassion. Let us be compassionate. Let us be the ones that pray that the Lord would send out laborers into the fields. Because when you and I get to heaven, He's not going to ask how many cars did you have? How many houses did you have? How much money did you have in the bank? That's not what He gives us that, and that's okay, but He's going to ask you, what did you do with the gospel? What did you do with the cross? What did you do with the Holy Ghost? Oh, Father, today we consecrate ourselves, all of us, and I will consecrate myself once again with you. And so let us pray, Father, and I want to hear your prayer. Father, I come to you right now and I ask you to forgive me because I have not done what I should be doing with the gospel, with the cross, with the blood, and with the Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Lord. Charge me up to go forth and preach the gospel like I've never preached before. And right now, the Holy Ghost said, your best sermons you have not preached yet, Pastor. Pastor Albert, your best sermons, your best preaching, you have not fulfilled yet, but it's to come. Your best ushering, your best hostessing, sharpen up your gifts. Don't be doing what you did last year. Clean it up, people. Use excellence. Don't demand excellence out of your pastors and it not shine on you. Father, I rededicate my life right now. And I ask you to help me, Lord, to fulfill my call, to do what I haven't done yet. I thank you, Lord. All of us, we have to be righteous men and women, holy men and women. Guard our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. Be clean. Be holy. Watch what crosses your mind. Watch what crosses your mouth. Watch what tries to get in, because there's demons and devils always trying to influence you. Shake them off in Jesus' name. Don't run from God, run to God. You, I declare, will be different men and women from today. Because when you enter heaven, there's going to be people waiting to see you come into the kingdom of heaven. And guess what? I see heaven applauding. And when you step into the gates and you step into heaven, guess what's going to happen? Pastor Albert, there's going to be a multitude of people, and because heaven's going to be announcing. Llegó el Pastor Alberto. Pastor Albert's in heaven. He got here. He made it. And there will be applause. And there will be multiplications of people that will come to you, Pastor Albert, and they'll say, because you came. Because you brought me the gospel when you could have quit. When you could have said, I'm too old now. The people that are going to meet you in heaven are going to say, I'm glad you didn't quit. I'm glad you didn't give up, Pastor Albert, because of you and Jesus, I'm in heaven today. I ask you today, how many people are going to be looking for you in heaven? Church, who's going to be looking for you in heaven? This is from the heart of God for you people. When you get to heaven, will there be applause? Or will they be saying, oh, she made it by the skin of her teeth into heaven? No, that's not the way we want to get there. We want to hear the applause of heaven. Not because of what we did or who we were, but what Jesus did for us. Because of the blood. Because of Jesus, because of Good Friday, because of Easter Sunday. This Easter Sunday will be different for you if you apply this word to your life starting today. Take hold of the word. Take hold of the gospel. Take care of the blood. Take hold of it. And take hold of the Holy Ghost. You want a formula? That's your formula. That's your formula. Father, I thank you. You have spoken. And I have nothing else to say, Lord. We've given you your place. I've done my part. Now the people have to do their part. I cast every negative thought, feeling, imaginations from them. I open the doors. I open the gates. I open the Red Seas for them to cross to get to the promised land. Just go, say, pray, pay the way, but do something. Not for Sister Anna, for God, for the kingdom of God. And someday we're going to rejoice in heaven. We're going to see each other. I might go before you. Or some of you, you might go before me. But we'll see each other in heaven. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Give him the praise.